We had to lower the guys online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country while you work or attend college. In return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubuque Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodd, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott's Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. Louisiana Tech falls 24-23 in, I guess you could call it, a heartbreaking defeat. The third one-point defeat for the Dogs this year. It's becoming sort of the norm. Tonight I'm joined by my main man, the co-host Sutton Davison. Welcome back, Sutton.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Glad to be back, man. I missed you guys. It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back in the studio talking about some Tech football.
Oh, absolutely. And just give our listeners a little update on where you've been and kind of what you've seen from the Dogs from afar.
Yeah, so I travel with a band called Colony House, a rock and roll band from Tennessee, and we just finished up a 35-show tour here in the U.S., started up in the Northeast, made our way down the coast, and then out to the West Coast and back through the Midwest. So been everywhere, but glad to be back in Ruston. And trust me, I have been keeping up from afar. If I wasn't watching the game, I was following it on Twitter or on ESPN. And trust me, it has been an interesting journey following this team this season, one that I know we have a lot to talk about. I know that you mentioned it, 3 1-point losses in a row. I think I've been gone for 7 games, and so almost half of those have been 1-point losses in games that were surely winnable. I know we'll touch more on that later.
Yeah, we will. And as always, good to have you back. Again, thank you to our good friend Beck Haynes. Did an admirable job filling in for you.
And he'll be back filling in some more as the time goes on, I'm sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Louisiana Tech falls 24-23 to North Texas for homecoming. Just looking elsewhere around the conference on Saturday, Florida International defeated UTSA. That was probably one of the most impressive wins of the weekend. Moved the Golden Panthers under first-year head coach Butch Davis to 4-1 in conference, and more importantly, got them to 6-2 overall in the league. UAB defeats Rice 52-21. The Blazers are now bowl eligible as well, as Conference USA now has 5 teams bowl eligible. We'll talk about Tech's bowl hopes here in a little bit. Tech is still 2 wins away from bowl eligibility with 3 games to play, so it's going to be difficult to get there. Old Dominion defeats Rice 6-0. That was a full 9-inning ball game. It's nice to see a little baseball score around the league. Middle Tennessee throttles UTEP, hapless UTEP, 0-9 UTEP, 31-3. Tennessee goes on the road to Knoxville, loses to Tennessee 24-10. Western Kentucky also took a step outside of league play and went to Vanderbilt, losing 31-17. And then Friday night, Tech's opponent this Saturday, Lane Kiffin's Florida Atlantic Owls, won their 5th game in a row, 30-25. So as always, you know, if you'd like to join us, you can text us, call us on the Fairway Carts text line or hotline at 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, it's definitely a tough weekend for Bulldog fans everywhere. I know that That watching that game Saturday against North Texas was definitely tough to see.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about it, because it was one of those classic Louisiana Tech football games that we've come, like you said, to expect. And we'll get into this later, you know, but this is a team that is obviously struggling in the second halves of ball games. You know, one that we're used in years past to seeing air it out big and score lots of points and put teams away early. And I know we've talked about this. There have been times where it's felt like, oh, this game is
here
in
we
hand.
Go again. Or this here game, we go again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This game is in hand. We've got this. And then that second half hits and things go downhill. And I think the most telling stat of all is one we talked about before the show. The last 10 games, or is it five games?
The
last five games, we've scored 10 points in the second half.
In the third quarter.
Combined.
Third quarter. Yeah, and then overall for the season through nine games, Tech scored only 24 points in the third quarter. That's not even 3 points a ball game. And, you know, you can say Conference USA is what it is. You can believe it's a quality league. You can say it's a league that's down. But for the most part, when you look at five bowl-eligible teams to this point with an opportunity for Western Kentucky, you know, maybe Middle Tennessee, Southern Miss, UTSA, maybe even Tech to get to bowl eligibility, it's a deep league, deeper than it has been before, and when you're scoring less than 3 points a game in the third quarter, you're definitely going to put yourself in a hole.
And, you know, we've got this image in our head of what North Texas has been. It's been a doormat program for a long time, one that you
And
for
I'll
sure,
add this. North Texas has been our whipping boy for years.
Yeah, absolutely. One that you want in here on a homecoming. You want one that you'll guarantee a W come homecoming time, and that is for sure not the case anymore. And now I'm not going to sit here and say that they're a top 25 team, because they're far from it. But that's a team that you expect to beat, and to come in and lose, or to have them come into Joe A. Stadium during homecoming and lose the way we did, it's tough. It really is.
It was disappointing, to say the least. I know the Tech offense, we'll get into it in the next segment when we fully break down the North Texas game. But Tech really struggled to get anything going offensively. Tech led, like we mentioned, 17-7 at the half before being outscored 17-6 in the second half. And when you perform so poorly in second half, you're just going to end up on the wrong end of things. And you, quite frankly, you end up at 4-5 fighting for your bowl lives, when before the season, looking at a schedule where Tech was hosting seven home games, Sean Fox says it a lot on his show, but me and you projected Tech to win the national championship.
Well, we're optimistic, and I think Sean does a little bit better job than we do, and that's why he's the man. That's why he's been doing this a long time, is he's able to see things with a little bit less foggy glasses than we do sometimes, and he was right. I mean, this is a team that's been exposed in a lot of areas. This is a team.
It's a flawed
that,
football team.
It really is. It's a young football team. It's an inexperienced football team, and like you said, it's a flawed football team, and we'll get into that a little more in the next segment, just talking about, you know, the things that need to fix in this football team, the areas of weakness that need to be addressed going forward.
And you mentioned the youngness, the inexperience, you know, whether it's at quarterback, whether it's at receiver. I think I was taking a look at the depth chart today that was released at the Skip Holtz weekly press conference. Tech only has 9 seniors on the depth chart. That's not just a 2-deep. That's, in some places, 3 guys are listed at certain positions. So, you know, I'm not going to say the sky's falling and rusting, but the season to this point has definitely been a disappointment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, shoot, come out to a game on a Saturday and you'll see how disappointed people are. And I know I keep saying this, but we will continue to talk about the things that need to change. And I think you and I both agree that fan support in Ruston has got to change. The mentality has got to change. We'll get into that shortly. But
well, that's a question I have for you. You know, you look at the last 3 years, 27 wins. The program's headed on a upward trajectory. The program's, you know, feeling all good about themselves, thinking conference championship, thinking, you know, hosting a conference championship game in Ruston. None of that's going to happen this year. Tech's out of the race in the Western Division for all intensive purposes. And that's a question I have for you. Only 18,504 people was the announced crowd Saturday afternoon for homecoming, a game when a lot of folks try to make it back to Ruston. That was just a poor crowd, from my opinion. I don't think 18,000 people were there.
You and I both know 18,000 people were not there. They find ways to inflate those numbers, and good on them for doing it. But you and I both know there was 14 or 15,000 at the most.
And why do you think, you know, me and you are both fans. We went to Tech. We've been fans our whole lives. Why do you think that fan support seems to falter in a year that may not go as planned?
I think you mentioned it a second ago, and I think that there's something to be said about that, and it's a compliment to this program. This program is on an upward trajectory.
Absolutely.
The last 5 years, we've had three guys throw for more than 4,000 yards. We've had two guys going 1 and 1A leading the country in receiving yards. We've had countless guys get drafted and signed to pro contracts.
We saw probably the best running back in Tech history.
The best running back in Tech history, arguably one of the best scorers in NCAA history. And we've got guys all over the NFL, more than any Conference USA school,
yep.
More than a lot of Power 5 schools. And there is a reason to be to have high standards around this team. Here's what I'll say. You think about the greatest fan bases in sports. What are they? They're the Philadelphia Eagles, the New England Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think about other sports.
You look at Chicago Cubs. Look at New York Yankees. Like you look at
the Detroit Red Wings.
Yes.
I mean, there's iconic fan bases. And what is the bottom line between all those fan bases? Their teams have gone through rough
ups
patches.
Ups and downs, yeah.
But you don't see, I hate to use this team because it's my team, but you don't see Heinz Field on a Sunday empty. Those fans aren't going anywhere. And they've decided a long time ago that this is their team, and that no matter what happens, it's going to be there. I get that it's not pro football. I get that it's not the same caliber of football. And I get that it's a small town in northern Louisiana. But that's the mentality that you've got to have as a Tech football fan is, this may not be the year that we win the national championship.
But I'm going to be there when they do.
Right.
Through thick and thin.
I mean, we're never going to win the national championship at the way that the current model is set up. And that's okay. That's not a realistic goal for a program like this.
Get out of the deer stand.
Get out of the deer stand and come watch this team, you know, and say you were there at the good times and the bad. I mean, I know that, you know, this is a team that could contend for conference titles, you know, with one or two differences. I mean, we're talking about a team that is a touchdown worth of points away from being 7-2, 8-1 on the season.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at the South Carolina game, UAB, this game this week, the Southern Miss game, a game that should have been put away. Coach Holtz talked about in his press conference, they're so close, but at the end of the day, being close enough is not, you know, being close isn't getting the job done. But regardless, from a fan's perspective, it's not getting the job done to not show up when your team's not doing well.
Yeah, those guys, whether you believe it or not, and I listened into the show the other week when you and Beck were talking about this, it does matter. Those guys do feed off of fans. They do feed
Absolutely.
Off of the energy in the stadium. They want to feel like they have something to play for. And when people are hunting in the mornings, that's great. But get out of the deer stand and come to the game in the afternoon. There's no better Saturday in the fall.
In the South.
Than in your team's stadium. And whether, you know, your team's 8-2 or 4-5 or 2-8, come support your team, and then you can honestly say it's your team.
Well, and I'll add to this, you know, we want to see a better product on the field. And, you know, this year has been disappointing, but I don't think, you know, we're by any means saying that the program's not headed in the right direction. It's more of a rebuilding year than it was a reloading year like we expected. But from a recruiting standpoint, recruits love to see fans. You look at Tech this week, they lose the first commit of the 2018 class, a defensive back, Kevion Davis.
Guess who they lost him to? Presumably.
Presumably North Texas. I go on his Twitter after he decommits. He's retweeting North Texas Mean Green fans like crazy. So that's a direct reflection of maybe one game throughout the year. But, you know, if Tech has 25,000 and the atmosphere is electric on Saturday, so that might be a different outcome. And if players come, you know, I'm not expecting an atmosphere like Mississippi State every week, but the atmosphere has to be quality, and it has to improve from what it is.
Especially with the amount of money that the university has put into making Joe I.A. Stadium
a
better place to watch a game than it ever has been. I mean, that is an incredible venue compared to what it has been in the past, and it's no excuse. I mean, you have a recruit come to a game like Mississippi State where you lose by 25, 30 points, but it has the atmosphere that it did, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely not. So we'll get into all this more later. I know we have a pretty fun show planned coming up at 6:30. We'll talk to Eric Conkle, head coach of the Duncan Dogs.
Three days away.
Yeah, the Duncan Dogs get things going Friday night at 6:30 inside the Thomas Assembly Center when they host UT Tyler. They also host Southeast Missouri State on Monday. So if you have a chance, make it out. Watch this team. They're fun to watch. We'll catch up with Coach Conkle. Then at 7 o'clock, we'll catch up with Cyrus Smith, preview Florida Atlantic. Pretty fun show tonight.
Yeah, we're going to ask some tough questions. We're gonna get into the thick of things really quick. But stay with us. We'll be right back after a break, and we'll keep it rolling here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud Tech supporter for over 60 years. When the Bulldogs hit the field this weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics. Plus, all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service Superstores, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7. We're keeping it rolling here with a little bit of Louisiana Tech football talk, recapping North Texas loss, looking forward to Florida Atlantic, asking some tough questions, diagnosing maybe some of the problems with this team, what can change, what we can look at as being some quick fixes for a season that's getting away from us before we know it. Nine games in. And time is running out to get this team to a bowl game. Ben?
Yeah, and just talking a little bit about North Texas, you know, that game was – it was interesting to say the least. You know, Tech started out so well in the first half. You know, just a few plays that stuck out to me in the first half, particularly in the first two drives. I thought, you know, the opening kickoff of the game, Barnes doesn't hit it particularly well, but the North Texas return man has trouble corralling the football. Tech downs him on the two-yard line. There's some momentum inside the Joe of those 14 or 15,000 fans that were there. They had some energy in the stadium, and I thought Tech really had an opportunity to take advantage. But then, you know, the defense does get a stop, but not before giving up 42 yards to North Texas. And that's really a theme we've seen throughout the year. The Tech defense is much improved in many aspects, as Coach Blake Baker said, but finding the consistency over the course of 60 minutes has been difficult. So seeing North Texas get 42 yards on that first drive, really flipping the field position, was huge in the early part. And then I told you and Beck and whoever else, the second play of the game, Jamar drops back to throw, and you look at the offensive line and they just provide no protection before he goes down. I think that really summed up the game from an offensive line perspective, as they really struggled.
Man, that's a group that is struggling right now. I remember multiple plays looking up and seeing not one guy blocked from their D-line. Every single guy on our O-line had missed an assignment multiple times in the game. And when you're working with a first-year starter, a guy who hasn't had a lot of experience under center, that can't happen. I mean, obviously, assignments get blown, and guys make it through the line and get after the quarterback. But to have no protection for a guy who already doesn't seem super confident back there isn't going to equal a lot of success.
Yeah, and Jamar, you know, it's not known to a lot, but Jamar's dealing with a foot injury. He missed, you know, a lot of practice last week, so he needed some time to throw. And Roderick Young, number 49 from North Texas, he caused havoc in the backfield all day, whether it was in the run game or whether it was when Jamar went back to throw. And a lot of fans and critics, you know, the backup quarterback's always the favorite player on the team when the starter's struggling. But I thought Jamar, and Skip mentioned this in his press conference, I thought he did a good job of extending plays throughout the day and sometimes making something out of nothing when he wasn't getting a lot of protection back there. And, you know, you're exactly right when you say the offensive line's struggling in a big way. And there hasn't been a whole lot of continuity up front. I know Josh Outlaw's missed a few games. O'Shea Dugas has missed a few games. Cody Rusty at center wasn't the center at the beginning of the year. Ethan Reed's moved to left guard. Shane Carpenter's been in and out of a starting role at right guard. Really, the only consistency has been Michael Rodriguez for the most part. He's probably started 7 of 9 games at right tackle. So, you know, there's something to be said about the lack of continuity up front, but that group's really struggling. And, you know, outside of Boston Scott, nobody's really creating a lot of plays with their feet in the run game.
You mentioned Boston Scott. I was going to point out, I mean, this is a Tech team that has – it's been a team of two halves all season long. The first half, this team's gotten out to some good starts.
Well.
It's gotten out to some good starts. I mean, you think about Mississippi State, great start to the ball game.
Yeah.
I felt like we had the momentum in a big game where we didn't let our heads get too big and – didn't let things get ahead of us too much, and those guys responded well, and obviously second half collapse. Same thing the other night. Obviously North Texas got on the board first, but Tech responds with Jonathan Barnes field goal, and then in the second quarter puts together a couple of really nice drives. 7-play, 52-yard drive that resulted in a Boston Scott touchdown.
And that big play on that drive was, I thought Skip showed a nice job as – you know, it's been talked about all year. Skip's been extremely conservative, especially since the Jamar interception at South Carolina. But that's a story for a different time, different day.
Yeah.
But he goes for it on 4th and 2 from the North Texas 32. He could have settled for a field goal from Barnes. He probably makes it. And that was a play where Jamar's initial read wasn't open. I think he was looking for McKnight in the flat. He kind of heaves up a prayer, but you have to give him some credit for getting rid of the ball. Bonnett comes down with the ball at the 4 before Boston Scott punches it in.
Yeah, that's the kind of plays that it's going to take with this team. This isn't a team that's a well-oiled machine. You're going to have to take some risks. You're going to have to go for some fourth downs, heave up some prayers, and hope for the best. This is a team that is capable of making those types of plays. I think we've seen a more conservative Skip Holtz than we're used to, with maybe him realizing that he's not as sure about some things as he thought, which is understandable. But when Jamar has time to throw, time to go through his progression, time to find open guys, he's really pretty effective. We're talking about a guy who's already thrown for over 2,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions as a first-year starter. There's not a lot to be super critical about. It's just that he really doesn't have a lot of time back there.
Yeah, and he has lacked some consistency at times. But like you said, like, you can't complain about a whole lot, you know, when you're struggling to have – you know, time to throw, when there's no Carlos Henderson or Trent Taylor out there. We saw it last year at Arkansas, and that was kind of, you know, Jamar's coming out party, if you can have one, as one game as a redshirt freshman. But he had those two guys outside and was able to, you know, have those guys as security blankets. This year, outside of Teddy Veal and, you know, maybe Rashid Bonnett, who's been in and out of the lineup so much, you know, there's – I'll be honest with you. There's not a whole lot of talent at receiver that's proven. Like, not a lot of guys have made a ton of big plays throughout the year.
Yeah, we talked about at the beginning of the season that this receiver group is one that had more potential than almost any other group in the conference, and I just don't know if that's panned out. I just don't know if some of these guys we maybe were counting on have panned out the way that we might have thought.
Well, I think you look at things like, you know, a guy like Marcus Gaines, he's missed 5 games. You look at Adrian Hardy, he missed 4 games. You look at Javonte Woodard, he missed 6 or 7 games. Alfred Smith's out for the year. Really, the only consistent performers that have been out there every week have been Marlon Watts, Teddy Veal, and Cam McKnight. And I'll be honest with you, Cam McKnight
and
doesn't.
Bonnet.
Yeah, and Bonnet, but he, you know, Bonnet, when he's been in there, he's done a good job. Teddy Veal's been consistent every week. Cam McKnight, he's a guy over the middle. He's not going to catch more than three or four balls a year, and we know what Marlon Watts is. You know, he's a good blocking receiver. You know, he's going to make a few plays in the passing game. He made the one big play against Southern Miss, but yeah, really, it's a wide receiver group that's been banged up, and they haven't had a ton of time all as a collective group with J'Mar Smith, so it's been difficult, and that's why they haven't progressed as many expected, but it is what it is. We're heading into Game 10, and hopefully Tech can improve. But like you mentioned, Tech gets the field goal, then they get the 52-yard drive to go up 10-7. Trey Spencer gets the interception in the end zone to stop a North Texas drive, and then Tech goes right down the field. J'Mar runs it in from 7 yards out on third down. It was 17-7, and I felt really good about this one.
Yeah, and this is the, to me, the turning point of this game right here, what happened right before the half. And I watched it unfold, and we talked about it, and literally there was nothing we could do about it. It was – we score with 39 seconds left in the half you to go up 17-7, like you said, feeling pretty good. So explain to me why there's any possible way that North Texas is able to go six plays and 44 yards in 39 seconds to add a three points to the total right before the half. I mean, I saw the Tech DBs backed off in a prevent formation, and it kind of looked like we were willing to give up those yards if we kept them out of the end zone, when really you're looking at the difference in the game right there if they don't go down and kick a field goal with 30 seconds left before the half on what was a six-play, 44-yard drive that honestly, I mean, you run six plays in 39 seconds in today's college football, you're doing pretty well for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, and I completely agree with you. It's just it's conservative defensively against a quarterback in Mason Fine, who really struggled when he had pressure in his face throughout the day. Tech didn't get, you know, I think they had two sacks defensively. I know Matthew Udarga had a big sack in the first quarter. But outside of that, you know, Tech did a good job of bringing pressure throughout the day. And when he had pressure in his face, he really struggled. So that was a big drive. And hindsight's always 20-20, but that ends up being the difference in the ball game. And then here we go again, coming out of the half. You know, the first play of the second half is a draw play. You know, Boston Scott trying to go off left tackle. He loses 5 yards. And Tech ends up, you know, losing 8 yards as a whole in the drive and ends up punting it back to North Texas. I thought that was just demoralizing, to be quite honest with you, having to punt it back to North Texas with the momentum in their hands, and they go right down and tie the ball game up. It's a new ball game, and you just got that sense that Tech was going to struggle offensively, and that's what they did in the second half.
This isn't a team that plays well when they feel a lot of pressure. It's
absolutely
a team that gets out front and then steps on the gas a little bit. It's not a team that can battle score to score. You know, it's not a team that can match a team score for score, and that's something that comes with maturity, comes with playing time, comes with veteran leadership, and it's something that this team lacks a little bit of right
well,
now.
Well, and that's a good question. You mentioned leadership. You know, you look at the struggles Tech's had this year. Do you think it's a leadership, experience, coaching, talent? I mean, it's probably a combination of all four, but, you know, for me, I think the biggest thing is probably leadership in the locker room with so many young guys playing key roles. Especially at the quarterback position. J'Mar's not the most vocal guy out there. I think he is a leader, don't get me wrong, but still, when you're only a sophomore, you can say he's a third-year player, all you want to say, but it's his first year leading the offense, and I think that's really showing up, particularly offensively.
Yeah, and there have been players on this team that we've expected big things out of that have just not done what we've expected. I mean, you look at a guy like Jalen Ferguson, we were calling him a top 20 draft pick at the beginning of the year, and he very much had the potential to do that.
Yeah.
A guy who had 14 and a half sacks last year, he's got 4 through 9 games this season.
It's not acceptable for a premier pass rusher, regardless of, you know, offensive line shifting protections.
And he's a great player.
Yeah.
He's proven that. It's just a matter of this team feels like they're in a little bit of a funk. Obviously, on the win-loss column.
I think
column,
they lack confidence.
They do. And it's tough to have a lot of confidence when you go and lose 3 one-point games that you should have won, one being at a SEC team like South Carolina, looked like you had the game wrapped up, one being to a team in UAB that didn't even have a program a year ago. I mean, those are tough losses, and it will shake the confidence of a young team.
Yeah, so looking later in the second half, Tech ends up kicking two Jonathan Barnes field goals to go up 23-17 before North Texas punches it in, I believe, with around it was 6:04 to go in the fourth quarter to take a one-point lead. Tech would drive back down the field before Barnes misses a long field goal, 54 yards. I don't think you can place any of the blame on him as the offense kind of stalled out as they got into North Texas territory.
Yeah, absolutely, and we know how it ended from there. Well, hey, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll hear from the head coach of the Louisiana Tech Bulldog basketball team, Eric Conkle, as those guys prep to start their season in about 3 days. Stay with us. Coach Conkle at 6:30. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoked cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, 699-9426, 699-9426.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle. We're now joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by Duncan Dog head coach Eric Conkle. How you doing tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great, Ben. How are you tonight?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. Just 3 days away from your guys opening up the season with UT Tyler on Friday night. I know you guys are excited to get things going.
We are. You know, it's been a long off season, but it's been a really productive one. When we had a couple of our closed-door scrimmages in the last week, it was kind of had to pinch ourselves as a staff and said, you know, we haven't played against anybody else since March, and it's that time of year. It's that time of year we're all excited about. Our players are really geared up to play in front of our fans on Friday night. We're looking forward to it.
Well, and just getting your feet wet in the first few games with UT Tyler this week, Southeast Missouri State on Monday night. What are you really looking to see from your guys early on in the season as they really start to ramp things up?
Well, the first thing we're always looking for is, one, to play with great effort, great energy. And then, two, we want to play as a team. We want to get some of those early kinks out, those that jitters. It's our first time playing in front of people. And then, we've got some new guys that we've got to put together, and we've got to get that experience of playing different lineups in different types of situations. Non-conference play is all about preparing yourself for conference, but within our conference schedule, we're going to play a lot of different types of teams, big teams, small teams, teams that pound it inside, teams that rely on the three, and it's going to be a great test for us, and we're really excited about it.
Coach, you've got a couple of guys returning from last year's team that fans remember names and numbers, but honestly, in a new season, for the average fan, it takes some time to get used to new guys, seeing new lineups out there, new fives. And so who are one or two guys that Tech fans can be looking for this year that they may not know about, a couple newcomers that we can look for that you've been impressed with in this offseason?
Well, there's really so many. And, you know, of course, people are going to remember Jacoby Boykins. It's hard to believe it's his fourth year already. But and then you've also got some other guys that have been in the program for a good while, like Janiah White, Derek Jean, and Jalen Washington. Those are our four upperclassmen that have experience in the program. And then you have a host of guys that have been around but are still young in their college careers. And those are sophomores like Daquan Bracey and Jalen Harris. And then Oliver Powell is somebody who got spot minutes last year backing up Eric McCree, but he's going to have a much more expanded role this year. And then, of course, we've got six brand new guys. Jacoby Pemberton, who redshirted last year, he's a new face, is a redshirt freshman this year. And then five brand new guys to the program that people are going to want to learn. And we're looking for a lot of different combinations. We're going to need to be flexible and versatile. That's always our MO. But we're going to be really leaning upon Jacoby Boykins and our upperclassmen to get us started here.
And, Coach, you mentioned the loss of Eric McCree. He did so many things for your team, both offensively and rebounding the basketball on the defensive end. How difficult is it going to be to replace, you know, such a high-quality player, Conference USA Player of the Year type player?
There's no question it's a challenge. And he meant so much to this program for those 3 years that he was on the floor. And the type of production that he had at that spot was really remarkable, to be a stretch four man and score and rebound. But we have guys that I know are excited about filling that void, about stepping their role up and helping our team. And we've got a host of different combinations that we're looking at in that front court, both returners and newcomers, to be able to fulfill that void. And again, it's not just going to be with one guy. It's got to be from a number of guys.
Absolutely, Coach. I know you mentioned the front court. We want to get to that soon. But in the back court, you talk about a guy like Daquan Bracey, a guy who has been around, a guy that people know his name. Obviously, he was Conference USA Freshman of the Year. But what are we looking for from him from year two? What do you expect from a guy like that who had an honestly incredible freshman year? How does a guy like that avoid a sophomore slump type of season and bounce back and follow up a great freshman campaign with a strong second year?
Well, the first thing is he put in great effort this offseason. And that's the first thing that's required, is finding ways to improve from March to November. And he's done that. You're going to see a stronger Daquan Bracey. He's a little bit heavier, not much, but he's so much stronger than he was a year ago. He's faster, if you can believe it. And he's worked on different parts of his skill to be a better player, from both handling the basketball to shooting the basketball and to defending. And those are the types of things we're looking for from him now as a sophomore, who really has more of a leadership role, a catalyst on our defensive end, harassing the basketball to, of course, the ball being in his hands and making great decisions. And I told him, actually both him and Jalen Harris last year, you know, mid-year, said, hey, for us to be any good, you're not freshmen. You got to be sophomores. And now I'm telling them they're not sophomores. They got to be juniors.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the team that you have this year, being your third year in Ruston, I know you guys are expected to be a lot deeper than you were in your first 2 years. Are y'all hoping to, you know, play a little more up-tempo, particularly on the defensive end, maybe full-court press a little more, you know, kind of that high-flying Dunkin' Dogs-type basketball that Louisiana Tech fans are so accustomed to?
Yeah, you know, we're looking to play. We're certainly looking to play quicker. We've been working on our presses. We've been working on different changes of defenses. With all the new guys, I want to be cautious not to do too much too fast, and really let certain things that we need to have happen, like some of our half-court defense and certainly our offensive continuity. But we want to play quick, and that's always going to be the same. We want to be able to strike early on offense. If we can create it off our defense, we certainly want to be one of the lead leaders in turnovers caused per game with our defense. So we're just trying to do our best to bring our young guys along and find ways to play a deep, deep bench, because I think as this year develops, I hope that's a strength of ours.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. And obviously, let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's the first weekend of the season. We're looking at UT Tyler first, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't ask about what it would take to get over that hump and win a conference title this year, win the CUSA tournament, and get into that national tournament. I know that's something that you and your staff are talking about going into this season as a goal, as one of those things you want to cross off of that list. And Ben and I were sitting here talking, with Conference USA as a one-bid league, how do you prepare your guys over the course of a long season to do ultimately one thing, and that's win three games in 3 days and try to get into that national tournament? Is it something you think about, having one bid and realizing your road is a little tougher than everybody else's, or is it something where you say, let's put our head down and go through this season and we'll get to that when we get there?
Well, I think a couple things happen. I think, one, you always try to recruit and put a team together and play a style that you think can not only do well in the regular season, but be able to compete for a conference tournament championship, to win three straight days. And outside of that, I think it's so important just to say, hey, how do we get 1% better today? How do we help each guy find a way to get a little bit better? How do we address some of these issues that we've got on either the offensive end or the defensive end, and just continue to get better? And then once you get to March, some of it comes into matchups, some of it comes into just how you're playing at that certain time. There is I hate to say it, but it's true. There is a little bit of luck involved. You create some of that luck, but sometimes you're hot at the right time, and you get the right draw, the right matchup. We're trying to do everything we can to develop our players, develop our team day by day, just to be the best we can be all year long, and of course, play our best basketball in February and March.
And Coach, when you look at Conference USA as a whole, whether you look at, you know, UTEP, you guys, Old Dominion, you know, the list goes on and on. I feel like the league continues to get better year after year. Obviously the non-conference part of the schedule is just now getting going, but from a conference perspective, how challenging is Conference USA as a league this year?
Well, we're in a really good league. We've got really good teams. We've got tradition-rich programs, terrific coaches, and some really talented players. And I think it's getting better and better. And I think our conference slate, the home games that we'll have, will be really, really appealing to our fans. And we're going to need them every night, because it's going to be deep. Teams that may have traditionally been towards the bottom of the league are getting better. I think it's going to be as deep as it's been. And I think there's just going to be some great, great challenges, some great, great types of matchups all season long in Conference USA play. And, we need every bit of preparation this non-conference play to get ready for it.
Absolutely, Coach. And the TAC has always been a premier venue in this conference and in the country to win ball games. So you mentioned it a minute ago. As we let you go, what's your message to TAC fans this year, and trying to think of how I want to say this. What do you want to say to TAC fans on why they should come watch you guys this year, as if they needed any other reason?
Well, first, I want to say how much we appreciate our TAC family and all our fans. They're wonderful. We can't do it without them. And we just ask that, hey, grow with this team. We've got some young, exciting, talented players, and we want them to help and support and watch them grow, because I think that they're going to be exciting. I've said this before, we're a little bit wild and crazy right now, but my hope is that we can be wildly good.
Absolutely.
And we just continue to ask, and look forward to seeing them out here this Friday night and all season long.
For sure. That's Coach Eric Conkle, head coach of the Louisiana Tech Duncan Dogs. They start play this Friday night inside the Thomas Assembly Center when UT Tyler comes to town. Make sure and grab your tickets. Make plans to be in the TAC on Friday. When we come back, we're going to preview this week's matchup with Florida Atlantic in Joe Ayers Stadium, talk a little bit about what it might take to beat Lane Kiffin's Fighting Owls. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll talk to Cyrus Smith from Florida Atlantic Beat. Stay with us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud Tech supporter for over 60 years. When the Bulldogs hit the field this weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics. Plus, all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service Superstores, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech will play host to Lane Kiffin's Florida Atlantic Owls Saturday afternoon. Kickoff is set for 2:30 p.m. Make sure you make your way out to Joe Ayers Stadium for what should be a thrilling game on the field, and if not, it should be thrilling to watch Lane Kiffin roam the sidelines. Heading into this game, you and I have talked about it numerous times. I fully expect Tech to play their best football game. With the way this team has been trending all year, you just never know what to expect on a weekly basis. I fully expect them to come out, play hard, and potentially knock off the Fighting Owls.
Well, this is a Louisiana Tech team that obviously plays well against good teams.
Yep.
and lays eggs against bad teams. We've seen it in years past, and you're right. This could be one of those. I would not be surprised if, and we'll talk about this, but we need two wins to get to a bowl eligibility. We've got three games left. I would not be surprised if Tech went and won this game against Florida Atlantic and then somehow found a way to lose the last two and let us all down in a blazing ball of flames.
You mentioned you get into a bowl game. Tech's 4-5 right now. To this point, the season's been a disappointment, but they can still get to a bowl game. It's possible. Would that cure all for you this season?
For this season, 100% it would.
I agree. If Tech can find a way to get to 6-6, 7-5, yeah, consider it a success.
7-5 would be an unbelievable finish to this season. That would mean winning, obviously, the last three games of the season. And, I mean, I'll take above 500. With the kind of start this team has had, it would be a resounding success to end up in a bowl game and to continue that streak that I think everyone in here in Ruston is extremely proud of three straight bowl games.
I agree. And taking a look at Florida Atlantic, when they have the ball on offense, there's no secret what the Owls want to do. They want to run the football, whether it's Devin Singletary, who leads the country with 19 rushing touchdowns, whether it's his backup Greg Howell, who has over 500 yards and is averaging 7 yards a carry, or whether it's a name familiar with all Louisiana Tech fans, the brother of Jeff Driscoll, Jason Driscoll, quarterback in the Owls.
Yeah, not a guy who's going to light you up through the air, but a guy who is even more deadly than his brother on the ground. You can look for a lot of read option from this Florida Atlantic team, a lot of misdirection, a lot of counter motion, a lot of things like that that will leave defensive linemen and linebackers wondering who has the ball.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, hit me.
Me and you are roaming the sidelines of Joe IA Stadium Saturday afternoon.
As we do.
Yeah, we take a chance. We decide to walk over to the Florida Atlantic sideline, and you happen to run into last chance U star John Franklin III. What are you going to tell Mr. Franklin?
You know, that's one of the more interesting questions that you could have possibly come up with at this point in the show. But I'd tell him that I wasn't a fan of his character on the show. I wasn't a fan of the way he portrayed himself on Last Chance U. I think
I'd tell Mr. Franklin that he's come a long way from Auburn to Florida Atlantic to only 6 carries on the year.
Well, I don't even know what position he plays anymore.
I don't think he plays a position other than left out.
Well, that doesn't surprise me much. It seems like his career has taken a similar trajectory of his head coaches. But his head coach seems to be doing really good things for the Owls.
Yeah, Kiffin's doing a masterful job at Florida Atlantic. They only won 3 games a year ago. Like we mentioned, they've won 6 this year, 5 in a row in conference play. They're the clear favorite in the Eastern Division. Looks like they're, you know, we said it 2 weeks ago, they looked like to be on a collision course with Marshall for the East Division Championship. But after Florida International knocked off the Thundering Herd, I think it's Florida Atlantic and Florida International for the Eastern Division. Kiffin has done an outstanding job in his first year.
Yeah, and Butch Davis done a nice job at Florida International. A couple of washed-up, old, big-time coaches really turning things around at historically bad programs.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And, you know, you look at Florida, it's a talent-rich state. You know, there's plenty of Division I football players there. And it's nice to see Kiffin doing well. Beck and I had this debate, I believe it was last week. Beck thinks no chance in heck that Kiffin leaves after this year. Kind of your thoughts. Do you think Kiffin gets a P5 job after this year?
Man, I don't see how he doesn't.
I agree.
I think he's gone like a freight train, to quote the great Montgomery Gentry. I think there's no chance that Lane Kiffin stays. If Derek Dooley is headed to Tennessee.
Tell me about it.
After a couple good years at Louisiana Tech.
Keep in mind, Dooley left after a 4-8 year.
Correct. Then I don't see how there's – and you know what? There's a weird web tangled in there of Derek Dooley, Lane Kiffin. They're all mixed in somewhere. But that aside, I think that every school with a head coaching opening offers it to Lane Kiffin, and he'll have his pick of what he wants.
I agree. And I think he's such a good offensive coach. Granted, he couldn't get along with Nick Saban, but Nick Saban lost a national championship because of it. So, you know, Kiffin's doing a great job. And looking at Florida Atlantic defensively, it's a defense that has been pretty good in conference play. I know Coach Holtz mentioned today they kind of scheme week to week based on the opponent that they're playing, which is pretty interesting. I know Lane's dad, Monty Kiffin, he's famous for the Tampa 2 defense in the NFL. He's an advisor for Florida Atlantic, so he's probably helping Kiffin defensively, and he's helped him so much that the Owls lead the country with 18 interceptions. And we talked about it earlier with the Tech struggles on the offensive line. If they cannot protect Jamar Smith and he ends up having to hurl balls into coverage for a prayer, chances are Florida Atlantic's going to intercept the football, and that could lead to some ugly things for Tech offensively.
Yeah, I think we talked about it earlier. The key is to give Jamar time to drop back, make his reads, compose himself, and throw the ball. I know that is a rich...
And it's easy to say.
Exactly. It's a rich luxury that not a lot of people are afforded. But with this team and with his inexperience and his shaky level of confidence this year, I think that's the key, is the Tech offensive line providing time for Jamar to find open guys downfield.
Yeah, and Florida Atlantic, you know, they've really struggled to defend the run, a lot like Tech. Florida Atlantic's rushing the ball offensively for 284 yards a game, which is just mind-boggling. And one more thing I'll add on the offense. Coach Holtz and defensive coordinator Blake Baker mentioned today that they're almost a military academy on offense. That's how much they want to run the football. So the Tech defensive line, it's undersized. It may be missing Jalen Ferguson this week. They're in for a tall task. But I would say the same for the Florida Atlantic defensive line. Tech's going to have to pound the rock, whether it be with Boston Scott, Jared Kraft, Cam McKnight got a few carries last week, Jamar Smith in the run game, or maybe Israel Tucker gets a few more carries. But if Tech can establish the run, I think it can open up some things play action-wise to maybe hit Rashid Bonnet on a deep ball or two.
Yeah, well, Tech's got two healthy linebackers. You've got Cedric.
Ain't very good.
You've got Cedric Cooper playing linebacker. He's a safety and a small safety at that. I mean, that's going to be tough against a team that you know is coming at you full steam ahead. But Tech's going to have to stack the box. Tech's going to have to just. Yeah,
they're going to have to.
They're going
to
have to just sell
edges.
Out for the run. You
yeah, they're
going
to have to
out.
Leave corners on an island. I think Amik Robertson's up for the task. Hopefully Legarius Sneed is opposite him. But, yeah, I completely agree. You have to stack the box in order to slow down Singletary, who's one of the best running backs in the country.
And you mentioned the Tech running backs. I didn't want to forget about them. I mean
– The factory.
Boston Scott and Jared Kraft. I don't think that the factory is closing down for business this year. I think that those guys are both still extremely capable of doing good things. Here's the difference for me, and it's a question that you and I have talked about. What makes Boston Scott more effective in this offense than Jared Kraft? Because I know Jared Kraft was Kenneth Dixon's third down back.
Yeah,
I mean, he was the guy that was spelling Kenneth. He was the guy that we all thought would be the next guy. And Boston Scott has come in and really taken that job and earned it. And I think here's why. I think that Boston Scott is a guy that creates when there is no play.
Yep.
And Jared Kraft, while extremely gifted, obviously, is a guy that really thrives more between the tackles, more...
He needs a hole,
he hits it, and usually he does pretty well. But with a guy like Boston Scott, if a play breaks down, if protection breaks down, he's a guy that can make that first move, bounce it out to the outside, and then use his feet and shiftiness to extend plays.
And I completely agree with you regarding that. I think that... You know, Scott's the more shiftier guy, and I think that's why you've seen him have more success. Tech hasn't opened up a whole lot of holes on the offensive line, and Kraft is not a bad running back. He's a good, you know, he's a three-down back in a world where you don't see many three-down backs. He's a guy that, yeah, physically he can handle 20, 25 carries a game, but that's not what Tech asks of him. And he needs a hole to be successful. And I'll add this, you know, Jacquees Dancy is expected to return from an ankle injury this week. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets incorporated into the offense, because he's another shiftier guy that has that game-breaking speed.
Yeah, I've said it once. I'll continue to say it till I'm blue in the face. This team goes as the offensive line goes. It's got to start up there with those five guys creating holes for the running backs and giving Jamar Smith some time to throw.
They really need to carry the mentality that they had against Southern Miss on the opening drive that when the Tech hosted Southern Miss, when they just ran it straight down the throat of the Golden Eagles. They have to get nasty up front and really make it a point that, you know, if Tech's going to win this game, they're going to do it on their backs. And I don't think they're lacking the talent. And when you look at Josh Outlaw, you look at O'Shea Dugas, two all-conference performers, Ethan Reed, a freshman All-American. Rodriguez is coming to his own as a junior. And then Cody Russey is the center.
It's a capable group.
Very capable. And I think they'll be as healthy as they've been all week this year. I know we said that last week, but, hey, we'll take a rain check.
For sure. I got a question for you before we head to a break really quick. We've talked about this. You said it when quarterback play is in question, everyone wants to see the next guy. Last year, that guy was Jamar Smith. When Ryan Higgins struggled out of the gate, everyone wanted to see Jamar Smith. Obviously, we know how that ended up. Ryan Higgins throws for 4,000 yards, leads the country in passing. What I'm asking you right now is Jamar Smith still your guy, or are you looking to make a change? And I want you to wait until the next segment. Actually, we don't have time. I need you to answer it right now. Is Jamar Smith still the guy? Why or why not?
Yeah, Jamar Smith is my guy. I think I take a look at a few throws last week. Yeah, he sailed a few throws, but when he had an opportunity to set his feet, he can punch it in there with the best of them. He has a rocket for an arm. He has the talent to be one of the best quarterbacks Tech's ever seen, and I think you're going to see that again this maybe not at the end of this year with the struggles Tech's had getting things going, but his final 2 years in Ruston, I think you'll see a completely different player. For me, Jamar Smith is still my guy. I'm sticking by him. Call me a Coach Holtz homer. Call me a Jamar Smith apologist, but I'm rolling with Jamar Smith, and I believe that he leads Tech to some big things over the next few years.
There you have it. Ben Carlisle says Jamar Smith is the man at quarterback for Louisiana Tech. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to Cyrus Smith from Florida Atlantic's beat. He's going to give us a little insight on what we can expect when the Owls come to town this week in Joe A. Stadium. Stay with us right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7. We'll be right back.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Our Black Friday sales event is coming early and will last all month long for incredible model year-end savings at Brennan Dodge. 17 Jeep Renegade is only $18,900. 17 Grand Caravan is only $19,900. 17 Challenger SXT is only $23,900. And save $10,000 on 17 Ram 2500 Crew Laramie 4x4. Don't miss the Black Friday sales event with our model year-end closeout pricing. They'll go fast, so hurry in to Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name. Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net. Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech getting set to host Florida Atlantic Saturday afternoon inside Joe I. Stadium. We are now joined by Cyrus Smith, a contributor for Underdog Dynasty, to break down the Florida Atlantic Owls. How you doing tonight, Cyrus?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. Just to get things started, you know, Lane Kiffin has done such a great job in his first year leading the Owl program. Talk a little bit about the vibe around Boca Raton as the Owls are having some success for, you know, really the first time in quite a while.
The vibe is awesome. It's so weird having a winning team down in Boca Raton now, given that it's been about 9-10 years since the Owls have first been in the bowl game. Really, it's the excitement around campus. You know, 3 days ago we had during the breezeway. There's this lane train, and students had made this train, and it's going around campus. And it's a great thing to see that the students and the Boca Raton community is decided around the FAU program. You know, usually there's a lot of transplants down there, and you know, lately because of all the losing, there hasn't been too many people at the games, but now we've seen the fan support increase during the winning season, so it's really a great thing to see.
Cyrus, Louisiana Tech and Florida Atlantic have been in the same conference for almost 5 years now, but they've actually never played each other. This is the first meeting between the two teams. What do you guys know about Louisiana Tech? What do you know about the history? What do you know about this season? What can fans at Florida Atlantic, what do they know or what are they expecting coming into this weekend's game in Ruston?
Well, we do know that our starting quarterback, Jason Driscoll, his older brother, was a Tech's quarterback 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Jeff Driscoll, he led you guys to the New Orleans Bowl. We know that Skip Holtz is the head coach, and we know that you guys have pretty much been trying to get over the hump, you know, just like, you know, similar to FAU, where we've been just trying to get, you know, a winning season. Tech has been kind of the model of consistency and success at Conference USA, similar to Western Kentucky, you know, with 9-1 seasons and just having players coming in and out and then producing pro players. That's the program that, from as far as he really wants to become, just as far as a mode of consistency in the Group of Five, where we can challenge Power Five schools on a regular basis while also trying to compete for championships. We've seemed to skip the step with Louisiana Tech as far as immediately going up there to potentially get a conference title, but I guess we'll see if we should reach the conference USA championship game.
And looking at what running back Devin Singletary has done this year, it's been nothing short of spectacular. The sophomore running back has over 1,200 yards, 19 touchdowns, which leads the country. Just talk a little bit about what makes him so special in that Lane Kiffin offense.
It's really, it's funny. His nickname is Motor, and it really is because of his motor. He keeps his legs going. He's really hard to bring down. He sits about like 5'8", 5'9", but he weighs 200 pounds, which you normally don't see short guys being at weigh that size. So he's really a load to bring down. That to go with his acceleration, you know, he's not just a scat back that who can get on the outside. He's a really strong runner between the tackles and in lean pistons and offensive system. He's really been able to exploit the second level and the left linebackers, either in the passing game or in the rushing game. So really, he's the best, as of now, as a sophomore, the best running back in FAU history. And it's all credit to really Lane Kiffin and the offensive line as far as the system.
You look at a Florida Atlantic team this year that's really, I mean, we've talked about it till we're blue in the face, that turned around this program. I mean, you mentioned it. You guys had been on the bottom for a long time looking up at programs like Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech, and wanting to be at that level. And now, like you mentioned, the tides have turned a little bit, and you guys are rolling. Louisiana Tech struggling just a little bit this season. I know that this team, Florida Atlantic, has gotten off to a slow start. I mean, you play at Navy, a team that Louisiana Tech finished last season with a victory over. You lose by 30 points. Then you go to at Wisconsin and lose to a really good top 10 program there. And then since then, it's been nothing but success for the Florida Atlantic Owls. Do you think that's mostly attributed to Lane Kiffin and the new mentality, or do you guys just have more talent than you ever have?
I would definitely attribute it to Kiffin's mentality. You know, before under Charlie Partridge, it seemed like the team didn't necessarily believe that they could actually win. We had the talent. We had been recruiting pretty well under Partridge, but for whatever reason, we couldn't break through that glass ceiling, you know, the imaginary glass ceiling. But now under Lane Kiffin, he's installed the mentality to go out and score points. We're not going to care what the outside noise says about the program and the players that we bring in. We're just going to go out and win. And that's the mentality that FAU has been playing with this year, with the sense of abandonment as far as, you know, scoring points at will, whether that be against North Texas and creating turnovers at the expense or at the risk of, you know, giving up points. It's really been a crazy turnaround season compared to we've won 9 games in 3 years last year, and now we're already on our 6th win. So I attribute to the mentality is that Kiffin brought over, which is, you know, kind of a bit brash for a few people in Conference USA as far as the fan bases, but it's really helped turn the program around.
And looking at Florida Atlantic from a defensive perspective, Sutton mentioned the struggles against Navy and Wisconsin early on in the year, but Tech head coach Skip Holtz mentioned that in conference play only, you know, Florida Atlantic's has been the third best defense in the league. What are they doing defensively? I know they lead the country in interceptions with 18, but what are they doing that's making them so successful from a defensive standpoint?
From a defensive standpoint, we're really starting to rely on the secondary. The secondary had been the best unit on our defense, even when we were struggling for the past few years. But this season, it's been more of a man-to-man, leaving our corners and safeties out on islands, so to speak, and really letting them take advantage of the receivers. And fortunately, so far, there hasn't been any great receivers in Conference USA that's been able to necessarily exploit that one-on-one matchup. Marshall did pretty well last week, Marcel Williams and Tyree Brady, as far as gaining yardage, but they didn't necessarily reach the end zone. And then you had Jalen Guyton from North Texas, who, you know, he's one of the best receivers in Conference USA, and they held him without a reception. So it's really been the secondary. Chris Kiffin, Lane Kiffin's brother, is the defensive coordinator, and he really likes to play aggressive man-to-man defense and kind of putting the onus on the referees to rather than call penalties. And so far, the refs have been letting our secondary get their hands on receivers and rough them up, and it's been working.
Heading into the matchup with Louisiana Tech, you know, historically, Louisiana Tech has been known for their high-powered offenses. This year, that hasn't quite been the case. From a Florida Atlantic perspective, what concerns the Owls heading into this weekend's matchup?
I think what's really concerning is that the fact that, for one, it's a road game, and FAU is specifically Jason Driscoll, he hasn't necessarily played on the road this season, so that's kind of concerning. His home road splits is pretty off, but really it's the front seven. Last week, Marshall, even though Devin Singletary, you know, as great as he is, he produced numbers. The passing game really couldn't get going, mainly because of Harrison Bryan, FAU's tight end. He's really great at exploiting linebackers on the flat routes, and Marshall had the talent on the second level to really shut that down. And Louisiana Tech, I see, has the same type of talent as far as in the front seven with Jalen Ferguson to be able, and then Davon Washington, I believe, you know, to be able to keep FAU's tight ends and slot receivers away from getting into the deep into the secondary. So that's what really concerns me. If a front seven that can kind of neutralize the offensive line and keep Driscoll in the pocket and having to rely on Driscoll to beat this beat the defense with his arm, that's FAU's biggest weakness, and I think Louisiana Tech definitely has the talent in front seven to exploit that.
Well, you nailed it, and that was my next question. Is obviously there's no secret when it comes to this Florida Atlantic team what the offensive scheme is. This is a run first team. This is a read option, misdirection, counter motion type of team. You pretty much know what you're going to get. It's going to be a lot of run game. It's going to be a lot of misdirection. It's going to be a lot of read option type sets. So what can Jason Driscoll do to exploit a young Louisiana Tech secondary? Because do you even go there with a guy like Jalen Ferguson out potentially this week with a concussion protocol and a couple linebackers down in Louisiana Tech's linebacking core? Do you even rely on a guy like Jason Driscoll, or do you literally just put the ball in Devin Singletary's hands and let him do what he does?
I would put the ball in Devin Singletary's hands, let him do what he does. Jason Driscoll has really not been consistent enough as a passer this season. He still has passed for, he's only, I believe, passed for four touchdowns this season. He has three interceptions. You know, he's not really setting the road on fire, passing the ball. He's a deceptive runner. He's pretty decent, but he's not able to make the necessary throws like a Mike White from Western Kentucky to really keep the defenses away from stacking the box. So I would expect for FAU to continue with jet sweeps with Willie Wright, who's a pretty fast, speedy slot guy, and let Devin Singletary run between the tackles. I would be really surprised if they tried to test Driscoll's arm versus Tech secondary.
And, you know, we've talked about it throughout the interview, how much success Florida Atlantic has had. Has there been any rumblings in Boca Raton about, you know, possibly losing Kiffin after 1 year, or is it just, you know, it's all sunshine and roses at this point, and we'll worry about that after the year?
It's always ever since he's been hired in the press conference, everyone's been saying it's just a 1 year rental, it's just a stopgap for him to go and do his own thing in the Power Five level. But ever since that press conference, it's really been just sunshine and roses. No one's really been thinking about the next year or even the next month. Everyone's just been enjoying the process of the fact that Lane Kiffin, a high profile coach of his stature, is the head coach of FAU.
Go ahead.
Okay. So it's not been doom and gloom yet. Now, after November and it's December and then the coaching carousel is hitting full swing and potentially UF or UCF comes calling, then, it'll start to be a bit worrisome. But as of now, everyone's just kind of coasting and enjoying the ride.
I got you. Well, give our listeners your prediction for Saturday afternoon.
Well, I had begun researching earlier, right before you called me onto the show. And I'm honestly leaning towards Louisiana Tech. I know the Bulldogs have been really, really haven't been able to get over the hump in close games this season. But this game was scheduled me when the schedule first came out, and it just scares me. FAU is really riding high, but given the parity in Conference USA, I'd be surprised if a team runs the table. And if FAU wins tonight or this Saturday, that's what I see might happen. But I think I just have a feeling that Louisiana Tech, for whatever reason, is somehow going to pull it through. I think they're going to get through and win a really close one.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Cyrus. Great stuff. How can our listeners follow you online?
On Twitter, you can follow me at CoolCyWrites, C-O-O-L-C-Y Writes. And then I'm the managing editor at Underdog Dynasty. We do a Choosing CUSA, which is a week where we pick all the Conference USA games. And then there is where you can find my preview of where hopefully for the red and blue faithful there that I'll stay with the pick with Louisiana Tech, but right now that's what I'm thinking about.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We're looking forward to a fun one Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for having me.
Cyrus Smith, Underdog Dynasty. You heard it from him. Louisiana Tech over Florida Atlantic on Saturday. We're going to take our final timeout, and then you'll get our predictions. You'll hear from Sutton, you'll hear from our producer, John Tabor, and we might just have something special in store. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston West Monroe.
First National Bank. The uncommon bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication. Trust and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
It's the grand opening of Truck Pros, the truck capital of Northeast Louisiana on Constitution Avenue next to Cracker Barrel. At Truck Pros, we specialize in making sure we have the year and model of the truck you're looking for. Late model vehicles from 2008 to 2017. 1 ton to the 2500, diesel, dualies, crew cabs, extended and regular cabs, zero down, payments as low as $199 and no payments till January. We're open late till 8 p.m. or shop online at truckpros.us next to Cracker Barrel in West Monroe.
With WSE 1.79% from Capital One Finance. 48 months, no payment till January 1st.
Some fireworks, huh? You feel that? I guess not. Too late for him, I guess. If he'd lived through it, he could have been down off that backhoe by now. Maybe thinking about a cold one after work. Too late for him.
But there's still time for you. Call 811 before you dig. Wait for the site to be marked, and always, always dig with care. LA One Call.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to?
No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, final segment of tonight's show. I have to set the scene for you. We've talked endlessly about Louisiana Tech's struggles in the second half of games this season. We've talked about how they've started well, they've gone into the half fairly well, but coming out of that locker room is a different story, and I know fans, including myself, have been wondering what goes on behind those closed doors inside the Davison Athletic Center, Athletic Complex, during those 15 minutes that Skip Holtz gets to talk to his team to get them ready for the second half of football. So, I'm waiting for this music to end so we can really play this up dramatic. If you haven't been listening yet, you're going to want to now. I'm taking you inside the Louisiana Tech locker room. We've just finished a half of football. It's tied at the half. We've got our head coach for the day of the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs, Ben Carlisle, ready to deliver the halftime speech that's going to make this team come out and win the game. Take it away, Coach Carlisle.
Gentlemen, here we are. You've played 30 minutes of football. You've put blood, sweat, and tears into this game, and here you are. You think that you've played your best half of football. Well, I'm here to tell you you haven't. Your best half of football is waiting on you. For the final 30 minutes of this ball game, we're going to go out there and we're going to put Florida Atlantic away. We're going to get this season to 5-5, and we're going to propel ourselves to a positive end to the season. Kenneth Dixon in walking through that door. Ryan Higgins in walking through that door. Carlos Henderson in walking through that door. Trent Taylor in walking through that door. You're the answer. You have the talent to do it. Jamar Smith, step up. Teddy Veal, step up. Jalen Ferguson, you think you're an All-American? Go get to the quarterback in the second half. Davon Washington, you think you've earned a scholarship? Well, it's time to get in the backfield and meet Devin Singletary and tell him what a Louisiana Tech Bulldog's like. This isn't time to come out in the second half and only put up 3 points in the third quarter. It's time to make a statement. It's time to let Conference USA know that Louisiana Tech is not in a rebuilding year. Louisiana Tech is here to go to a bowl game for a fourth consecutive year, and it starts in this second half, and it's led by you, the players. You have the talent. We recruited you. We brought you here because we believe in you, and we're about to show you that. We're starting the second half off with an onside kick. Go cover it, Jonathan Barnes. Go cover it. You want to be the senior kicker that does it all? Well, here's your chance. Show me that you know how to get on top of a football in a big situation, and then Jamar Smith's going to hit Rashid Bonnet down the sideline. Now's your opportunity to make a statement. Now's an opportunity to win your fan base back. I believe in you. Let's go out and win a football game.
Wow.
That, are we going to win?
I have tears in my eyes and sweat running down my face and my heart's beating fast. I mean, that was unbelievable. If I was sitting in that locker room.
Are you hungry?
I'd be hungry. I'd be ready to go win a game. Man, I don't know. I think Ben Carlisle might have to ditch radio for a different kind of headset, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey, I can coach. You know, I'm one of the best, chairback coaches there is in the country, and I can come up with a halftime speech. Maybe I should be a motivational speaker. Tim Tebow, I'm coming for you.
You know what? You've worn the coach hat. Now I'm about to turn the tables on you a little bit. Let's say you're a recruit. You're a five-star prospect from C.E. Byrd High School in Shreveport, and you're on a visit to Louisiana Tech. You've got a soft verbal commitment. Are you turned off by the struggles that this team is – the mild struggles this team's having, or are you solid in your commitment, and why or why not?
Well, I'm solid in my commitment because I believe in myself. I believe in the talent. I believe in the direction of this football team that Skip Holtz has it headed in. That said, I'm disappointed in the game day atmosphere. It's something that I want to see be a little more enthusiastic, but I'm strong in my commitment. I think this is a place it's a program where, you know, it could blow up. It could be a Boise State, and I'm here to tell you I'm competitive enough to lead the program to new heights, and so I'm committed. As for other recruits that Tech's recruiting right now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not quite sure. It's been a tough year, like you said, and a lot of recruits these days, a lot of people won't say it, but I'll sit here and tell you to it. Kids are soft, and kids will easily decommit. You look at Kevion Davis. You know, he decommitted from Tech last week after a tough week for Tech. If a kid doesn't want to be in the program, you don't want him, you know, roaming the streets of Ruston, Louisiana. So, from a recruiting standpoint, I think Coach Holtz and his staff, led by recruiting coordinator Joe Sloan, are going to close on a strong class in 2018. But I could see why kids are questioning themselves. But me, myself, I'm a Bulldog true and true. When I make a commitment, I stick by it. And so I'm a Bulldog.
Love that. Okay, so here we go. Reeling it back in here. We've got Ben a little fired up now, but I need host Ben back. So here's my question. We need two wins to make a bowl game. Louisiana Tech needs two wins to get to that fourth straight bowl game. How do they manage that? And does one of them happen this weekend in Ruston? What I'm asking for is your prediction, not only for today's game, but give me a couple of keys to get this team two out of three wins to get to a bowl game.
So you want the keys for the final games or just tonight?
I want your prediction for Saturday, and then I want a couple of things that we need to know that this team needs to do to make it to six wins.
In order to get to six wins, which takes winning two of the last three games, like you mentioned, Tech has to perform more consistently on both the offensive and defensive line. I don't think there's any secret. I'm just a firm believer after Saturday that if you give Jamar Smith time to throw, is he going to miss guys? Yes, every quarterback does. Peyton Manning ain't walking through that door. But if Tech can perform better on the offensive, defensive lines and play with a mentality of I'm going to dominate my opponent from play to play, I think you see Tech get to the six-win plateau. As for this Saturday, I don't see it happening. I'll be honest with you. I think Lane Kiffin has the Florida Atlantic squad rolling. Devin Singletary is going to be tough to slow down. You're going to laugh when I say this, but Florida Atlantic 24, Tech 23.
Oh, gosh, not another 24-23.
Yeah, another one-point game. We're going to set the country, the record for most one-point games in the season. Your prediction and your keys to the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to take the opposite viewpoint, and here's why. I've been watching this football team for a long time, and one thing that I know to be true is that this team plays really well against good teams, especially at home, and not as well.
What about in front of 8,000
competition?
Fans?
Now, you know what? That's a variable that we have not considered, but one that has been pretty prevalent over the last couple of years when things got tough. But you know what? In front of 8,000 fans, it's going to be tough. Let's be real. It's going to be tough to play in front of 8,000 fans. But I think that this team is low on confidence, but high in talent and high in ability and high in fortitude. And I think that Skip Holtz has what it takes to deliver what you just delivered, which is a rousing speech, a rousing attempt to get his team's head back into things. And I think that this team's going to play well against Florida Atlantic. I mean, listen to Cyrus talking about his team. They're a team that has looked up to us for a long time. And you know, I think about – he mentioned there's a ton of parity in CUSA this year. Lots of opportunities for any team to be any team. And so I'm going to go ahead and say Louisiana Tech 35, Florida Atlantic 31. And here's why.
Nail-biter.
I think that Florida Atlantic is a high-risk, high-reward type of team. They don't play a lot of defense, but when they do get their hands on the ball, they're pretty explosive. So, you know what? I'm going to say Louisiana Tech 35, Florida Atlantic 31. Lane Kiffin is 0-1 lifetime in Ruston.
In his final matchup with Tech. Tabor, your prediction for Saturday afternoon.
John Tabor.
42-31 FAU.
You heard it. Tabor and Carlisle going with the Owls. Davison going with the upset. Louisiana Tech, Florida Atlantic, Saturday afternoon, kickoff set for 2:30 p.m.
Don't forget, hot take of the week, give it to me in 5 seconds.
Tech onside kick at some point in the game, and they convert.
Here's mine. It has nothing to do with this week's game. Skip Holtz at some point will make an incredible athletic director at some school somewhere.
I like it. Thanks for listening tonight. to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, as we recap Florida Atlantic and preview next week's matchup with UTEP. For Sutton Davison and our producer, John Tabor, you've been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside tech football, basketball, and